Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you don't know yet, those are listening by radio. I want to let you know that we have a new time slot on the Gulf Coast. We're excited about our new expanded hour.
Yes.
From 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
5 days a week.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine looking at us 5 days a week? That's not good.
Wow.
At
least
we are here to encourage.
You got to look beyond. You got to look beyond what you see and just hear.
That's right. Just close your eyes.
Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Don't look at what he's saying. And I mean, it's just exciting. And I want to say we have the best audience. I really am excited about us walking together. And I think we can hear God together. We love to hear from you through our Facebook, through our emailing, contact us, all the different ways that we communicate, that we're going to walk this thing out together.
Yeah.
And God is showing us that if we'll begin to talk about things and begin to just bring his wisdom in and give it a perspective, like shine the light of God's word on these matters, and all of a sudden things make sense. And it's just amazing to see how effective it is, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
And if you missed our earlier program that we had this week about how in Gaza, the Palestinian government is merging with Hamas. And you got to hear that because we need to be concerned about Israel and what's taking place in Israel. And this is inside of Israel. When you talk about Gaza and they're talking about dividing up the land, it's sort of like getting a tumor in your body and somebody saying, we want to cut out half your body. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and make a different state of it, because that's Gaza is Israel. They just kind of, you know, had a particular area where they're having some contingencies going on with people who just don't like Israel. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got a chance yet to go see the Torch, I want you to know we have some new parts of the Torch coming out. You go to VFNTV.com right there in the menu, you see VFN Torch, but we have segments in there with, you can see it right here. As a matter of fact, you just go there to the, you're looking at it right now on your screen. When you go over the Torch right there, you had the VFN Torch, Prophecy, Wisdom, Original Intent, and you're about to have Original Intent of the Nation and Original Intent of the Church. In regards to the nation, you'll have Constitution about the Third Great Awakening, about Israel. But also, I'm excited about what's coming is you're going to see their Faith, Hope, and Love. You're going to be able to click on in the menu, and you need some encouragement about, you know, building your faith up, or, you know, love and hope and the Holy Spirit, because the kingdom of God is not a matter of works, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so as all these facts are coming in your life, you're going to need to be able to go to VFNTV.com and go to the Torch right there, and it just drop down and you have all these different resources available for you. You can find out the truth, but then you can just flip back over and say, okay, I want to look at some love right now. I want to look at some hope. I want to look at some, because understand that when these things happen, Jesus is what Jesus said. In this life, these things are going to happen. He says, but understand, I've overcome this life. And that we can look up and understand that our redemption, the time of our Lord's return, is coming soon. And that's very exciting. Very, very exciting. So John, talk to us, man. What is taking place?
My goodness, there's so much really taking place right now. You know, we had a chance to talk about Israel and talk about some of the different things that are happening. But right now, you know, the Lord's thing on my heart are a couple of things. And one of the things is, in my abiding time, the power of vision to bring restraint. You know, there's a lot of things that you can be doing today. There's so many opportunities to get, you know, involved in, you know, so many causes, and really just get involved in nothing. But if you don't know where you're going or what's in front of you, you know, what you're called to do, you're going to be sidetracked and pulled away in every which way. And so I know that was something we talk about quite often, and that's, you know, having vision. But that's the power of vision. It's the power of vision is to be able to keep you on track and keep you focused. And so,
well, I think about this, you know, when you're about to, I can just sense that, you know, you want to be able to help someone out, but if you don't help them with vision, you're going to be frustrated in their life, or if they won't listen to vision, or they won't agree with the vision, they're going to be all over the map, aren't they?
Sure are. Because a lot of times, you know, you have, like I said earlier, there's so many things that are happening in one's life. There's so many things that are going on. you can't do it all. There's a lot of people that I speak with are they're frustrated. They can't get the things accomplished that they want to get accomplished in their life. They feel that the things that matter most are always being compromised by the things that matter the least. And so they're saying, you know, hey, what's going on? You got to get vision. You got to get purpose. You got to write it down.
It's amazing how long people go blind.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Like, it's like,
how long have you been going nowhere in a hurry?
How many times have you been going around the same block? It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I remember this is a very wise thing to ask yourself. Why am I doing what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And then wait, God, why am I doing what I'm doing? And understand this, if we're without the word of God, we're without vision. So if we're part of the 81% that's not picking up our Bible, and really the 97% that's not even reading it in the context of that, that we can be without the light, we can't see, because God's word is a light unto our feet. It lets us know where we are, and it's a light unto our lamp, unto our path. It lets us know where we're going. And without the word, it's hard to bring vision that's meaningful, because you can have a vision where... building like the Tower of Babel was a pretty clear vision, and they were succeeding in it, and it just kind of changed the language of the earth, I think. Yeah. But that's good, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint." And restraint means, you know, you just loosey goosey. You know, you want to do something? Yeah, sure. You want to go here? Yeah, sure.
Loosey goosey.
Loosey goosey. What my dad used to say. You're loosey goosey.
You're loosey-goosey.
You're loosey-goosey. You never heard that before? It must be a New York term. You're loosey-goosey. Get it straight. Get it together. You just say,
no, the aggression how you're saying it is New York.
Well,
but
hey,
the,
loosey-goosey.
Just,
hey.
Loosey-goosey sounded like the...
You in New York, you know what I'm talking about. Loosey-goosey.
Okay, all right. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
Let's,
I'm sorry.
Let's move on.
Okay.
All
right. I'm sorry.
He's making a big deal about it. You see him? You didn't like it. Loosey-goosey.
Help!
One more time. Loosey-goosey. But you don't have no restraint. Which means that every time a new idea comes, every time a new opportunity to get involved in something, a new distraction, another object that's shining in the midst in the other corner, you're being distracted.
Like a jellyfish in the current, right?
Yeah, it's they like, you know,
around with no...
absolutely. And there's so much there. You have to know, you know, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, what is the purpose of your day, your week. And you have to have that vision constantly before you. Mm-hmm. So that when things do come up, and they will come up, you can say, nope, I got some restraint. I can say no.
It helps you answer questions, right?
Yeah, it sure does. Because you know what fits in your vision and what's definitely not in your vision. Right. And then so, you know, oftentimes people can't follow through on a lot of things that they want to do in their life is because they've allowed everything to get on their plate, not realizing that they only have a certain... Right. You don't have a certain amount of time on your, you know, only a certain amount of space.
That's right.
But if you keep piling and piling and piling, you start realizing, I've overloaded. I can't do this. I'm crashing. I'm crashing.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's just so important. Yeah. And also, too, if you have a vision and somebody else comes with another vision, that's two, which is the number die, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that would be two visions or die vision.
That's right.
So he's like, have a nice vision. See you next time. Whatever.
Next year.
Something like that. But yeah, you have envision, and that's right now you think about America, how important it is for, that's why we go back to the original intent. Like, mm-hmm. What was the original vision for America?
Mm-hmm.
You know, America, how we got here and how we stay here. What was the original intent? What happened? Yeah, we made a lot of mistakes, but there was an original context here. There was a reason why the pilgrims were running from oppression,
mm-hmm.
religious oppression. And if we can get back to that clarity again, because right now people are trying to fundamentally transform our nation, and it's easy to do, and we have no restraint. People are doing all kinds of crazy things right now because there is no vision. And I believe he says, without vision, people perish, they die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just, you're right. It's so important.
Oftentimes people are looking, you know, they say that when someone retires oftentimes and they leave their job, that's when the health becomes deteriorate. Things in our bodies happen, and I truly believe it's because sometimes, you know, retirement is not in the Bible. I've never seen that in the Bible, and so they forget why they're living. They're just hanging around, is realizing I'm just cutting grass all day. And if your retirement is what you're doing, listen, I'm not trying to talk negative about that, but I've just seen it in the lives of people that I love and you know, friends and things of that nature. It's like, listen, you can increase your vision. You can have a different vision for this part of your life, for this season of your life,
right?
And know what it is so that you can, you know, accomplish and fulfill it, and not let anyone steal it from you.
I just saw these two particular ladies that worked their whole life, and they retired, and they said, that, you know, I was just sitting at home. It's like, I worked my whole life and I realized I don't want to just sit here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they went out and volunteered at the local hospital to help people with counseling and filling out applications in regards to cerebral palsy and different things of that nature, I believe. And she says, now when I leave there, I have this big smile on my face, this feeling of accomplishment. And she has purpose and meaning in her life. And we're not supposed to stop living our life. I mean, imagine if you had no television or no radio in your place in your home. You'd probably get out of there, you know, to be able to do something. But, you know, thankfully, you can carry VFN TV and do a radio program with you on your iPhone.
On the go. Yeah, on the go.
We had a vision for that.
Yes, we did.
We knew that you would carry.
Yes, we did. Vision is important for young people. I mean, I've often shared many times with young people that if you don't have a vision for your future, man, you're going to waste time. You're going to waste part of your life. You'll never be able to get that time back. And so it's so important that even at a young age with your children, you begin to start sharing a vision for them for the future, what they would like to be doing, how they can invest their life so that they can have some kind of motivation as to start doing things. Because, you know, if you don't paint a vision.
You're going to get a vision.
Son. Oh, trust me.
You're going to get a vision.
Trust me, you're going to get a vision.
As a matter of fact, I have one right now. I'm seeing a new address.
Yeah.
I'm seeing like a mailbox with your own numbers on it and your own bills coming in.
That's
I'm getting a vision. I can
somebody
see
else
it.
Paying them.
No doubt.
Sometimes you have to speak it out for your children, right?
Sure.
I'm beginning to see this thing.
That's right.
They begin to become a believer, right?
Well, if you don't give them a vision, somebody else will. That's the thing.
I'm beginning to see a storage building. I manifest automatically,
it sure
right?
Does.
Yeah. I need to get a storage building. Got one.
Yep.
Yeah. But if you don't give it to them, somebody else will. They'll,
right.
they'll watch that television, watch that TV, and before you know it, you'll see things manifest in your children. You're like, where is that coming from? It's like, is that program or whatever you're watching is like, let me give you a better vision for yourself. Just we want to encourage you, remember that the power of having vision helps you to say no to some things, helps you say yes to some things. But if you don't have a vision, just don't know where you're going. And you can't be surprised when you realize you haven't gotten anywhere.
And I encourage you to you know, get focused, get everything together, but then begin to abide. Go to iabide.org, get you an abiding plan. Abide for like 6 weeks before you start, you know, being definite in the context of this clarity. Because when you start getting vision, you lay everything out there. Everything's out there. Everything's possible. I mean, you can do anything. It's like a Zig Ziglar said. He says, every road starts this from where you are right now. You can go anywhere you want to.
That's right. But you got to stay in your lane. Don't crisscross lanes. Go your vision. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. And then from that point, after abiding with God, you're going to get clarity. And God's going to say, Lord, reveal to me what you have, what you predestined me to do something in my life. And during that 6 weeks, God will reveal that to you, and you'll be really surprised. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and get vision.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this too before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to on the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or vfmdreamcenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time, and these are Central Times. Mm-hmm. The presence of the Lord was so powerful.
Yeah.
Last Sunday. And so there's nothing like the presence of God. And that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that he wants to be with us. But you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front. I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
Don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment Barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about vision, and we're going to have available to you on the VFN Torch on this particular article about getting vision. It's going to be very encouraging to you because it helps you put entertainment in place. There was a professor with New York University that we did in a segment. He wrote a book back in the 60s. And maybe the 50s, actually. And it was so profound. I mean, for years, he taught inside NYU, New York University. And everything he said came to pass. And is putting entertainment in its right perspective. Because he said, when technology is invented, and this is time of the facsimile and different things. When TV came into the society in the 50s, you had America before TV. But once TV was around, by the time you got to the 60s, it wasn't America plus TV. It was a different America. And that was that big expansion. It took a long time for that to happen. And TV was the thing for a while. But now technology is actually happening every day, several times a day, which means every moment, America and the world is morphing. I mean, it's just changing continually. It's not like we have the world and this technology. Because of this technology, we have a different world.
That's right.
And so that's why it's very important to abide, because you want to make sure you don't rock right into some major things that, it's inevitable, some things that are taking place. You can read about it. It's called prophecy. And some of the things the Lord talked about us, about all this data that they're doing. One thing I wanted to talk about is, I hear folks, that they get hurt, they get offended, or self-righteous, maybe, I don't know what it is, or they start taking excerpts from the Word of God and they apply that in defense of themselves, and
they take what?
In the Word of God, and and use it to defend themselves. And I think about when Paul first started his ministry, I mean, the first thing he did in his ministry, and he's going out this particular community to minister and preach the gospel. You know, obviously it hadn't been preached there before, and Paul is preaching there. That this particular guy that worked for his boss was named Elymas. I always call him Eli. And he did not like the way the proconsul that he worked for was his boss. He didn't like the way that Paul was ministering to this guy because the proconsul that he worked for was really feeling drawn to God. I mean, he was listening and he was being touched. And so all of a sudden Elymas began to try to lead, you know, here he is preaching Jesus to this proconsul, and this guy named Eli, you know, Elymas, comes in there and he gets in the way of him preaching the gospel and tries to pull him out of that encounter and tries to lead him away from the faith, is what the word of God says. I'm talking about Acts chapter 13, verse 9 through 13. And it's interesting when you look at Paul's response, because Paul's response was powerful. I mean, it was really, really powerful. I mean, you got to hear his response. Because Paul was very upset at what took place. I mean, very upset at what took place. And he dealt with it in a pretty aggressive way, because he said, when he said, you know, what are you doing? You know, what's going on in the context of this? Let me read what he says. And Paul looks at him and says, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looks straight at this dude, Elymas, and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. Things have gotten so politically correct in the church that we can't just say, that's of the devil. Mm-hmm. Right now, what's coming out of your mouth and how you're trying to pull that sheep out of the church and how you're trying to destroy that man or woman and how you're trying to lead them astray, you're full of the devil. That's what he's saying. Right. He's saying you're full of the devil. So this is what Paul is saying in the context of that. He said, then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at this guy, Elymas, and he said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. And that's one of the biggest things, trickery. I mean, he was obviously using deceitful ways to be able to pull this guy away from the faith who, you know, Paul was leading there. He says, will you never stop perverting the right way of the Lord? We've got to get to that point, because, I mean, we just kind of say, you know, you don't say stuff like that, and we're just going to try to paddle this boat in currents of water going all different ways here. And everybody's kind of like confused. They're just confused. And it's like, isn't there something, a straight current in regard to this river? Is God confused? And these guys that are held captive by the adversary to do his will, as Paul told Timothy, and this guy, Elymas, was going through that way. He was using trickery and deceit, and he was trying to pull this guy away from the Lord. And I see it all the time. I see it in congregations throughout my experiences. I see it with people coming in amongst God's folks. I see it with people who proclaim to be God's folks that are actually twice as much a son as hell as somebody who's just openly, you know, for Satan. I mean, they're doing nothing for God. They're not having any fruit in their life, and they're more interested in darkness than they are light. Mm-hmm. That's somebody who is not following the light. Mm-hmm. And so he actually confronts this guy who's leading him astray, and he says, now the hand of the Lord is against you. This is Paul talking to this guy who was trying to lead this guy astray. You are going to be blind. Think about that. You're going to be blind, and for a time, you will not be able to see the light of the sun. And immediately, he was in the midst of darkness. He began to look around for somebody to be able to guide him around. In other words, this guy who was just thought he could do anything found out he could do nothing once the power of God touched his life. And it was like, at that point, it was so powerful that the proconsul who was being ministered to, who was, the enemy was trying to lead astray, which means the proconsul, this man, this boss, the proconsul, his soul was weighing in the balance there. And when he saw what God did and he heard the message of the gospel, that he became a believer. Mm. So he, that tug of war between this man's soul, that Paul stood up and he began to deal with that which was leading him away from the faith. He began to deal with it. And how many people today, I mean, they fire hirelings. They fire, you know, pastors who just deal with stuff. They fire, they build all kinds of evil against ministers who just deal with stuff. And it's like, it's because they're of the devil. I mean, why would they, if you're going to deal with this one who's leading somebody away from Jesus, if it's a bad thing in someone's eyes for you to do that, it's because they're of the devil.
That's right.
They're held captive by the devil. They're walking around in darkness. If you're drowning, if somebody is drowning and they're about to die and you reach into the water and you pull them out of a drowning situation and somebody's angry at you for that, they hated that person. They didn't, that's evil. You know, they didn't want to see that person get saved. And so we have to get this clarity in our life. And so Paul was ministering. He's freshly sent out, his first city he's going to, and he's ministering. The first thing he runs into is Elymas, and is like, come on, dude, I'm trying to witness to somebody here. Mm-hmm. And he just confronted, because he saw him being drawn to the faith, but then he saw Elymas try to lead him away. And so then you begin to ponder the idea. It's like, well, I'm going to deal with these guys. You know, and so you can get the wrong mindset. You can start taking God's word and using it the wrong way, because notice that he was not in defense of himself at all. Because you look, you think about it, that filled with the Holy Spirit, and we know that could, the unction pretty much probably was the Holy Spirit saying, this is what you're going to need to do. At least the Holy Spirit backed up what Paul said. And
right.
Quite often, you know, if you'll have faith like Elijah, God will actually affirm and make sure that Elijah's word happens, because you're working hand in hand, you know, with God as servants of righteousness. And so in that, if he had that kind of power and people are falsely accusing him, mobs are ganging up against him, he's in double chains. This is the same guy. Double chains, standing before kings as he's falsely accused. And he's not saying, you know, look at this evil. You guys are all evil, and you know, blindness is going to come upon you, you know, King Agrippa. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not saying anything like that. And it gives you perspective of how we're supposed to walk. It's never about in defense of self. He said, you're going to suffer for me. You're going to go through some things, and you're going to be taken before kings. And don't worry about what to say, because you're going to be my witness when you go there. And so what's the difference between Elymas and Paul and Paul with these mobs and with these kings and double chains? And the difference was that with the mobs and the kings and the double chains was, it was more opportunities to speak to more proconsuls. It was all about getting to the next person who doesn't know Jesus. And it's like, if I got to ride this shipwreck to get there, I'm going to ride this shipwreck to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, when you look at Elymas, it was about, he was confronting somebody that was getting in the way of him speaking to this proconsul to win him to the Lord. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about him at all. And so it's important to think about, you know, God is not calling you to be defensive. He's not calling us to defend ourselves. Think about it. Jesus did not defend himself. He didn't defend himself. Even though they hurled accusations against him and they did these different things against him. And people would say, well, Jesus must be guilty of it because he didn't defend himself. No, he wasn't guilty of it. He didn't do anything wrong. But he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And he set a pattern for us how we're supposed to live our lives. And we got to think about it, say, my goodness, Lord, I can relax a little bit. And there's times when I need to stand up because I'm watching someone be led astray by someone who's held captive like Elymas by the adversary, to be able to pull somebody who's hearing the gospel for the first time or is a brand new believer trying to be led astray by someone. I jump all over that. Deal with it. Ask God, you know, deal with this person, God, who's trying to take that person. Jump in there. Don't think, well, we got to save the wolves and the sheep. You know, go in and just deal with that wolf that's trying to destroy that sheep. Deal with it. I mean, think how good that looks in the context. I mean, in love and compassion and understanding, you got to be careful about wheats and tares and all that. But understand that God backed Paul up, because Paul did not make Elymas blind. It was the power of God that made this man blind and humbled him. More when we come back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We were just talking about Elymas and Paul and the very, you know, how does this whole thing work out? Which means if we understand how Paul was walking and begin to really just ask God, God revealed to us how to walk that kind of walk, because, yeah, he did deal with things. But he was so humble in the point of that he'd say, listen, you know, in my letters, when I'm talking to you, in my letters, I'm all tough and stuff. But when I show up, you know, I'm not tough like that. And, you know, being in television, you know, for all this time, what we're doing, you know, I have to say some things that are really, you know, whatever God's telling me to say. But I'll never forget when I'm actually sitting with some folks while they're watching me on television.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I can relate to what Paul was saying. I was like, I feel so small right now having to listen to this message, because I know it's tough at that point, what that was going on, you know, a couple of years ago. And, but I thought, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. Just look straight in. And, you know, that's what he said. You know, he was like, you know, I love you. I laid down my life for you. And he even said this, and I haven't said this, and I don't want to give up my relationship with the Lord, and that's between him and God. But he said, I would even give up my own salvation for the Jews.
I can't go there.
I just don't understand. I mean, I'd lay down my life for the Jews, but the I'm not going to give up my relationship with Jesus. But I will bring you into the family. I'll tell you how to do that. And so It's like, so we can't be so angry and we have no right to just, it's not us. So we're not coming from our own defense of ourselves or defense of our viewpoints in any certain way. We're actually talking about what does God want me to say right now? Mm-hmm. Because it was full of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit of God. In other words, God was with him and the power of God was present and unctioned him to be able to respond to Elamus the way that he responded. And God confirmed that word because blindness came over him for a season. Immediately, this man who was trying to lead someone else astray had to find somebody else to lead him because he couldn't even see anymore. Mm. And I just feel this. I feel this in my bones, you know, in my spirit, that these days are coming back in a strong way. And it's going to be all across the board. But we have to have wisdom in what happens, first of all, because, you know, if you do anything out of yourself in defense of yourself, that's not God. By the way, God's not obligated to back up ignorance, you know. And besides, if he wants that person to know him, he loves that person. And so I like to say, when you walk into a courtroom, imagine you have juries, you have judges, you have defense attorneys and prosecutors, you have victims, you have witnesses, and you have audiences. It's there, and maybe even television cameras in there. Understand, everybody that's involved in that, God loves. Everybody. And so we have to, you know, how can I say things in a way that everybody knows that God will forgive them and loves them and has a plan for their life? The good news is whoever says yes to Jesus, you know, is the Lord of their life and repents for their sins, God forgives you. That's great, great news. And so you got to be careful, you know, how we do our best. And I know we fail quite often in how we're doing that, but know that's our heart and that's what we try to do. And it's just not about us, you know, it's just about you. It's about, you know, that the Lord wants to bring hope to you. And I think about hope, and that's what I wanted to talk about in this part of the program, is about hope, because everything about our walk with God is about hope. And, you know, recently politics took over that word and used it. And the word is so powerful and people are so desperate for hope. They went after that. A majority of Americans went after that. But now they realize that it was the kind of hope that disappoints. It wasn't the hope that's in God. Because there is a hope that disappoints, because hope is defined as a desire with an expectation of receiving, getting that which you desire. You think about that. It's not a daydream. It's actually, I have a specific hope that this is going to happen. And so you got a clarity, and we talked about vision earlier in the program, John did. And so he tells us, he says, listen, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So it's not a mystery in the context of it. Like, I know what I'm hoping for. I know what this hope's inside of me. And you have to be very specific of that. And I can't wait to begin to talk about the fourth dimension and Young E Cho. And this is so exciting to be just that. But it makes me think about Abraham, the father of faith. When you think about, you know, I think it's Romans chapter 4, when, you know, this is a man who understood hope. He was called out. The Lord spoke to Abram at that time, but we're just going to call him Abraham through this talk. And this is, at this point, there is no paradigm. There is no right God paradigm on the earth. But God was going to begin to reveal himself to this man called Abraham. And in that, he had to actually believe what God was saying. He had to just, despite, because there is no paradigm. Understand, there is no paradigm for him. He's not able to go, I'm going to turn on a television, I'm going to turn on the radio, I'm going to go talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to an elder, I'm going to talk to my father. I mean, his father had all these other gods, you know. He just had to hear and believe God. Mm-hmm. And then he heard the voice of the Lord come to him, and the Lord said to him this. He said, get up, and I want you to go, and I will show you. It wasn't like, okay, you know, I'm painting a picture where you're going to go. This is the roadmap, you know, Google Maps or, you know, whatever. It was just, you got to have faith. You got to have faith that my plans for you are greater than your plans for yourself. And my ability to lead you is greater than Satan's ability to deceive you. You got to have hope in God. And understand, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter if everybody in your whole community, like it was for Abraham, don't know God, don't believe God. If you believe God, you have hope in God. When God, understand, if he holds the universe together, he breathed life into your body, and you're alive because he's good, and he's faithful, and he's merciful, and he wants a relationship with you. You can believe him. You can have hope in God. God will not disappoint you. He may disappoint, you may be disappointed about a father treating you as the son or the daughter you are, but you're not understanding discipline at the time. He's bringing you into the fulfillment of the desires of your heart that lined up with what he has planned for you. But not understanding that, you think, well, I'm disappointed. Well, you're disappointed because you're misunderstanding. He loves you so much, he wants to make you a son. He wants to make you a daughter. And so he had hope. He had hope. And the fact is, he says, listen, the reason why his name went from Abram to Abraham, because that means father of many. That means father of many, because this is what God told him. He says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I mean, think about that. He says, look at the stars. And he says, can you count these? He says, no. He says, that's how many children I'm going to give you. He says, look at the sand. He says, can you count that? No. Well, that's how many children I'm going to give you. Children I'm going to give you. It's like, whoa. And then he can't have children. He's going through life and it's like, my goodness, I know that the Lord told me I'm supposed to have my own business. I know the Lord showed me, stadiums. I know the Lord shown me that I'm supposed to be pastor in a church, or I'm supposed to have a wife and this is supposed to happen, or I'm supposed to have children, or, whatever. But it's like, it's not happening. Why isn't it happening? And understand that it's God's going to fulfill exactly what he said. If you maintain your hope in God, which is your faith in God. And so Abraham went through his whole life, and imagine, because we only live that long, but back then they lived a little bit longer than we live at this particular time. And he went to 90 years old. He went into his 90s. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't happened yet. How many people go, I'm 30 years old and, I'm at the end of my life and it's just not going to happen for me. I'm 40 years old. It's not going to happen for me. I'm 60 years old. It's not going to happen. He was 90. He was 90 years old. And even though he had these circumstances, even though, physically to be able to have a child, your body has to participate and your wife's body has to participate in the process. It got to the point that where, he tried to make it happen early on through some other means. And that just caused all kinds of problems. And those problems are still here today. It's Ishmael and all those things. But God still was faithful. Even in the midst of all that, he was fully persuaded. I mean, against all hope, when everything's coming against you to say, this is not going to work out, you can still maintain your hope. You just don't have hope in that. You don't have hope in this. You don't have hope in your body to be able to do it, maybe. But you have hope in God, that God's able to do what he said he's going to do. And God's looking for someone who just begins to get hope. We saw a great use of the word hope over this nation. And you saw the desire of the people. That's all we want. All we want is hope. But you saw that's a hope that disappoints. Look what's happened. Look what's happened. Yeah. But understand that we can see that the people of America, what we're really saying is we do want hope, but there's a hope that doesn't disappoint. And the definition of hope is a desire inside of you for something with an expectation of obtaining that desire. And what you're seeing right now, when you had an expectation of getting something that you hope for, that it doesn't happen, then you're disappointed. So that's a hope that disappoints. So that means that maybe we had our faith in the wrong thing. We didn't have it in God. We had it in politics. We had it in leaders. We had it in concepts, ideas, schemes, political speech, whatever it is. I don't know. But when you have faith in God, you have hope in God. I mean, Abraham, against all hope, he faced the facts. I mean, he faced these facts that I cannot do this myself. I've even tried it once. It didn't work out. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead in regards to being able to have a child. He faced the fact that his wife, Sarah, that her womb was dead. It would not have another child. It doesn't work. But he's still in the midst of facing the facts. He didn't bury his head in the sand of denial. He didn't hide himself from his realities. He didn't say, oh, no, don't say that. You're going to mess with my faith. I mean, he looked his reality dead in the eye, and he said, but still, my God's able to deliver. My God told me that I'm going to be the father of many nations, that I can't count the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea, and that's how my children are going to be. And because he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he could do, despite all the circumstances, God says he accredited all his entire life as the father of faith. This is like the father of faith in whose bosom will be welcomed in heaven. And what did he do? He said, you know what? I'm just going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope alive, but it's hope in God, the kind of hope that does not disappoint. And if you haven't yet got into the Word of God yet to find out what he said, listen, you don't have anything to lock into. You got to get into the Word and get into the promises of God and realize he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. God himself does not speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. All of his promises in Christ Jesus are yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And funny, I mean, it was hilarious and some of the things, but he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker, and he was out there at this place that I'm talking about, and he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in, and you seal it so tight the air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it. Mm-hmm. It was the old fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And, all of a sudden, we hear this kaboom! The explosion that took place, and we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere, and he didn't have four hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh no!
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet. And he opened the lid.
He opened the lid I was on.
And it went kaboom. Oh my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it. Because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But I thought it was just, what was that?
Speaking of grandfathers, this is hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat the can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh,
let's get back to the story. Come on.
You're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can with his in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink, in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up, and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. Picture. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
So this is a grandfather that used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one
yes.
you did that thing to?
All those things, too. Amazing. It's amazing it boils on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. My goodness, hope. Hope that doesn't disappoint. Hopefully you got that earlier on as we were talking about. We just want you to have hope. And as a matter of fact, we have a new part of VFNTV.com available for you soon. The VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, go to VFN Torch on the menu, and has a drop down. You'll be able to see hope, faith, hope, and love in the Holy Spirit to be able to encourage you in these interesting days we're facing, and realize God is just looking for us, despite all of our circumstances, to have hope, to have hope. And speaking of Pat, that
this would be a good moment for that. Nice. Yes.
Yeah,
go yes. for it.
Speaking of, go for oh. it. Well, oh. well, it was it the ID picture that you were taking for the passport? Was that?
Oh yes, was yes. That remember
the,
that
the passport picture?
I gave you that imagery
of the passport picture.
You remember that?
The passport picture.
What are you talking about? Help me out.
You don't remember the imagery that I gave him? I said,
of the passport
said,
picture.
You gave me.
No, that I gave him.
Of the passport picture.
Of who?
Well, I'm about to get to that.
Oh my goodness. We're going to talk about that?
Oh, why not?
The passport picture?
He's acting bold right now. He's acting like he ain't scared.
Well, he thought just because it was a passport picture, only has the head. Of it. So he didn't come dressed appropriately for swimming attire that he wore to the picture of the ID picture.
Remember what you had on?
Do you remember that?
Was that there? Yeah, was there, right? I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. See, something? See that?
Yeah.
See what happens?
He's getting older now.
Very old. We have evidence.
We do have evidence.
Listen, the torch every day is filled with excellent content. Yes. You don't want to miss this stuff.
So when you see his passport picture, if you actually could imagine, if you back up what he was actually standing in when he was wearing that day.
It was tight, but nonetheless.
I was like, oh my goodness, dude.
What
I'm glad this is the passport picture.
Y'all are hallucinating.
Oh my goodness. That's like, anyway. So getting back to what we're talking about.
Please.
The E Pluribus Unum. Did you know on your money, there's two things that I really like about what's written on the money in America. One is in God we trust. Mm. It's amazing. It's amazing how many atheists take a dollar that says in God we trust and they use it every day.
Yeah.
And it makes you think too about maybe that's the reason why people want cashless society, because they don't like the fact that it says in God we trust. And if you go to cashless society, then you're not going to have a dollar bill that says in God we trust on it. And also what it says on the dollar bill right above the eagle, I believe it is, or it's part of the ribbon or whatever it's called from the eagle, is E Pluribus Unum. And this is one of the founding mottos of our nation, E Pluribus Unum, which means though we're many, we're one. We have these freedoms. We have the Constitution. Imagine the original intent of our nation. So you have all this freedom going on now, and that every man is free to pursue his joy and potential for success and his life, and he has this freedom in his life now. But yet, simultaneously, he's one. Though we're many, we're one, because we can't. Our heritage. We come from a nation that though we are one, we're many. They were up under a tyrannical rule, a king, if you would, and that's more like this. Though whoever you are, you're going to do what I say. That's what it's more like.
All right.
And they left that for all this freedom, but yet they still had to. It had to be E Pluribus Unum, which means, yeah, you are the farm and you are a leader here and you're the mayor and you're this, but we got to come together for a common defense of our nation. So though we're many, that we're one, we're Americans. We're Americans. We're citizens of the United States of America, but yet we have the right to pursue the freedom to be able to pursue happiness and these liberties, but that doesn't take us outside of the reality that we're one. And all of a sudden, America's under attack. You'll see all of us in the federal government says, hey, we got to defend ourselves. And then, so all these individuals who are about their day-to-day lives, one guy was an accountant, one lady was sewing a blanket, and you know, one, all these people are in school and different things are happening and they're all going all these different routes. They're like, you know, we're many, many different, you know, kinds of folks, different people, different ethnicities, all these different things are going on. But because we're one, e pluribus unum, everybody comes together and begins to serve as a common defense on behalf of the nation. And so that's what's kept us over these years, that it's e pluribus unum. And the attack on our nation, the is an attack against e pluribus unum. Because this is the narrative today. The original narrative was, and motto of our country is e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. Now the narrative that's being put over is against, it's the antithesis of this motto of our country, that though we are one, we're many. Which means that we can never get an agreement about anything. We're never, you know, we have all these divisions and these factions, and as there is nobody going, there can be no clarion call that unites folks around. You know, it's like, it's all about me, and we're all going in different directions versus though we're many, we're one, that'd be e pluribus unum, it's though we're one, we're many. In other words, we have America, but really we're just made up of so many different things and different ideas and different, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, this Constitution thing, you know, it's really outdated, and, you know, we have all these different gods now in America, and we have all these different ways of doing things. You know, you don't have to agree on anything. We can have, you know, and I think it's wonderful to be able to speak, you know, 15, 20 languages, you know, but if you don't speak a common language, how can you be one? How can you be one with folks that you don't speak a common language with? And so it's important to speak as many languages as you want to, but if you want to operate in e pluribus unum, in other words, all of a sudden we're called to duty, or we have to do something, or we need to elect something or whatever, I don't know, we got to be able to communicate. And somebody says, well, that's not necessarily true. Well, yes, it is, because and we're looking for a biblical perspective. How did God divide folks up? He divided them up by changing their languages. He changed their languages at the Tower of Babel. So we can't be all over the map here in regards to saying that though we're one, we're many. We've got to be many, but one, e pluribus unum. And so when you start seeing people try to divide you from your fellow citizen and divide you from your state from another state and divide you over political parties, over race, over concepts, over God, you know, you cannot be divided. Understand, united we stand, divided we fall. And Jesus said this, and this is what Jesus said. He said, every nation divided against itself will fall. And every household divided against itself will fall. We have to get back to what the revelation that's written, the original intent of this nation, when it was even written on, look at your dollar bill. You can see it right there. Hopefully we'll have it up for you on TV so you can see it, at least the VFN torch. It's e pluribus unum, the out of many. This is what it means. Out of many, we're one. And that's the church as well. We're one in Christ Jesus.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.